And now we welcome in the longtime special teams coach, most recently of the New York Jets, but he's been on a lot of places in the National Football League, and that is Mike Westhoff. He joins us now on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. You got my radio partner here with you, and we do our show every Sunday for ESPN. We have a good time. We have a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun doing that Sunday morning show, getting New Yorkers ready for game day.
We covered a lot of different subjects, and we had good guests that we brought on. We had Mike Ditka. Everybody's not getting Mike Ditka on the line. We had Dan Quinn. We had lots of guests. It was fun. It ended up being a lot of fun.
And I think one great question we can ask you that really doesn't get asked around here enough the weekend of the Combine. Everyone's looking for the next great quarterback, the flashy wide receiver.
Sure.
When you show up to the Combine as a special teams coach, you're looking for guys that can cover.
Correct.
Looking for guys that can, you know, be kick return, be punt coverage. What do you look for when you analyze some of these players, you know, that are going to be 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks that have to play special teams in their first year? When you go and tell your GM, well, this guy can play special teams, this guy can play special teams, what are you looking for?
You have two specific things that you've got to do as a special teams coach. Number one, you better make sure your kicker and punter are guys that can win for you in the NFL. Because if you don't, in this day and age, you know, where kickoffs are so special because you don't have the propensity of touchbacks is so much greater, you better have someone that's efficient. I believe you have to have a 90% field goal guy from reasonable kicks of 45 yards or so. So if you don't have that, well, then you better come here with your radar on and you better find it. Because you got to have it. And you know, so that to me is the first thing. Everything else, I think you want to look at the whole body. When I came all the years, and I went to 30. I went to the very first combine ever up in Detroit. Now, I'll give you one, Anita. You won't believe this, but this is true. My first 3 years, I was coaching with the Baltimore Colts. And Zeke Bradkowski, the old Green Bay quarterback, you remember him. Okay, he was our offensive coordinator. The first 3 years of the combine, he and I threw – on the field, the receiver drills. Me, Mike Westhoff, I threw
Get
the drill.
Get out of here.
I swear to God. Now, I didn't throw the routes. The quarterbacks did that. But the drill work, I personally threw.
Who were some of the wide receivers you threw to in those drills?
Oh,
do you remember?
My gosh, that's a tough one. You're going way back.
Did you have a good arm, at least?
I had a really good arm. Now, if you had to throw today, I couldn't hit that machine with 10 balls. I'm terrible. But
back then,
I had a really good arm. I veered away. I wanted to look at the whole body.
Yeah.
Because I didn't care what position they came from. Mm-hmm. I didn't care if it was a receiver that we drafted in the 6th round. Okay, what can he do for me? A running back that you take, maybe he's a college free agent. A linebacker, what's his role? I mean, I came here, I remember going to Texas Tech to work out Zach Thomas. I worked him out as a special teams player. we drafted him as that. Well, he became a great linebacker. I won't take credit for that.
And then they took him away from you, right? He couldn't play specials anymore.
Yeah, Jimmy took him the first week. but Jimmy Johnson used to drive me crazy. He'd say, Mike, I'm going to draft him for you. Would you shut up? You're driving me nuts. And I kept fighting
for
him. I would fight for him. But all I cared about is I helped get him in the door.
Right.
And that, to me, is the role of that special teams coach. You've got to see the whole body of work and be able to find out who fits. You know, offensive linemen. You want to look at everybody. I went to every weigh-in. I did it all. And that to me, was a lot of fun. So to go answer your question, two specific roles. One, you better make sure you have that kicker and punter and snapper. Now, the NFL, being as efficient as they are, they have one long snapper here today. One. You mean to tell me in all of America they can only bring in one guy?
And I have said this for years.
This is crazy.
And I will continue to say it. I think the long snapper is the best job in the world.
It can be.
If I had a son, I would take him out at a very young age, and I would just teach him how to long snap, and that would be his career choice.
I did that when my son, he went to St. Thomas Aquinas High School, grew up in. Now, he started as a guard, but he long snapped, went to the University of Pennsylvania, got an Ivy League degree, and long snapped every single snap for their football team. So I did that very thing
that
you're saying you'd do. I did it.
So I'm curious, you know, because you said you went to the first ever combine in Detroit.
That's right.
Now you look around here, I mean.
Oh, heck, my gosh.
We're broadcasting live from here. I mean, we got Radio Row, you got ESPN, you've got NBC, you've got us, you've got everybody here. And then on top of that, it's just what these young men have to go through, from the physicals to the late night
meetings,
interviews and meetings, and then the fact that the whole thing is televised
right
on the NFL Network, that you know you could watch every single second.
Every second.
I mean, do you sit back? Is this just unbelievable for
it's
you?
It's totally, totally unbelievable. I mean, it goes back to unbelievable. The first year, I'm throwing quarterback drills. Now, thank goodness, I'm sitting here. Thank you, have guys that throw them better than me. But it's become so impersonal in some ways, though. That part of it, I don't like with the players. You know, I used to like being on the field with them and communicating. And to tell you the truth, we would see them out in the evening, you know, having dinner or having a beer with us, because that's where we all were. All the coaches, we're doing the same thing. Now, of course, you know, every single second is accounted for. Everybody's got interviews. It's just different. Doesn't make it better or worse. It's different, and it's all a part of how everything's evolved, and the public has become so involved in the whole process. And that, you know, that gives all of us something to do, and it gives us a lot of role.
Now, obviously, the thing you do now, you analyze the Jets for SNY, one of the
right.
many things that you're doing in the media. They have two defensive linemen that are set to hit free agency that are both very high-quality players, Muhammad Wilkerson and Snacks Harrison.
Correct.
Do you think the Jets will let both those guys get the free agency? How do you see that playing out?
I don't think they can do that with Mo. I think they'll franchise Mo Wilkerson. I believe that. I think it would be a terrible mistake if they don't. They might let Snacks venture out just to see a perimeter of what it would cost to get him, to establish that. I don't think they're going to let him go. I'll be sick if they let him go. He's really a good but you can't keep everybody. You
right.
can't afford to. And we were at the press conference yesterday. You were there, Anita, with Todd Bowles and with Mike McCarron. You can't keep them all. You'd love to, but you have to figure it out. I think they've got to keep those guys. They've also got Sheldon Richardson's talking about a new contract. You know, he wants more money. And so it's a problem, but that's a real strength for their football team, and they can't afford to let too much of it go. So I hope they solve it.
In a few of the scouts that I've posed that question to, if you could only keep one, who would you keep? Believe it or not, majority of them said Snacks.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I'm
going with Mo. I would keep Mo.
Interesting.
Because I think Mo's the guy. See, I just believe you can. I'm not downgrading Snacks at all, but I think you have a better chance of fulfilling that role with a big, solid, giant guy than you do the what Mo does. Because Mo can scare you. I look at when I was playing against a team, I used to always say, okay, who scares me? You know, he scares me. I'll double team him. You know, my sister can block this guy. I'm not worried about him. You know, that's the way I used to do it. I used to do it that way. Mo scares me. You know, I think Mo can really make plays. So I'm hoping they keep them both. I would hope they don't have to just choose one.
So you and I, of course, we spent Sundays together talking not just about the Jets, but about the Giants
sure.
as well.
Absolutely.
So you know this team extremely well. Again, you talked about them each and every Sunday. Thoughts on the fact that they can be big players in free agency? There is big expectations they will. And also, they've got a number 10 draft pick. With the ability to go out there and be aggressive in free agency and having a number 10 pick, how much better do you think this Giants team can be next year?
I think it can be a great deal better. I think they're in a very good situation, although, to be honest, in their last 4 years, I think their drafts have been unenviable. That's a word I'd use. They just don't excite me. So they've got to step up the bat a little bit. Now they've got that 10th pick, but I think they're in a good situation. I believe if they do it right, that every personnel move that the New York Giants will make will be better than the guy they lost. I firmly believe that. If they do it right, that's how I think they can improve this football team. But they may not get the big, big name, because sometimes teams, you know, franchise those guys. But they're going to get that good, solid guy that's going to help their football team. Where I think they've fallen behind a little bit is kind of the base of their team should be established, and it's really not. They're actually trying to fulfill some of that role. So I think they've got some work cut out for them there. But I like a lot of their ingredients. If they can get a good number 10 pick, you know, improve their running back, get their linemen, you've got to do something with their defense. You're last. You can't get any lower than that. So they got to figure that out. But I like their position. I would expect them, I would put a tremendous amount of pressure that they should really improve. I think really improve.
Well, Mike, last one for me, and just going further down this path that you're going, with all the guys on defense that are available, one of the areas the Giants are really going to try to improve is on the defensive side of the ball. Who are some of the guys that you think that will become available, make sense for the Giants to bring in to try to improve on the defensive side of the ball?
See, that's really a tough one because, to tell you the truth, I haven't studied every name.
Right.
And I don't know everyone that's out there. That's something I'm going to get to do very quickly here. But I think I'm going to look at a realm of a position. The Giants have got to improve their pass rush. They've got to get somebody off the edge. And they've got to do some work in that secondary. You know, they're beginning to get a little older there. So I see just a couple things there. But their linebackers have fallen behind. So to me, you put the Giants' defensive depth chart up there. Throw a handful of rice at it, and whatever hits, that's where I'm going to get better at. I think they could improve all the way across the board. But get that big player guy that can dominate. The Giants, when they won those two Super Bowls, you could hang your hat on that front line guy that could wreck the game. I don't see that today. So to me, that's who I'm searching for. To give you the names, well, sure, you know, you give me Miller if you want. You can start with that. But good luck, because a lot of those guys aren't going to be there.
Right.
I know one thing. If the New York Jets falter on Mo Wilkerson, trust me, I'd get him to come right across the street if I were the New York Giants. I'd jump all over Mo. I wouldn't let him go very far from home. I think he's a great football player, and I know him personally, a great guy. So, you know, those are the types of things that I think they have to do. To give you all specific names, to be honest, no, I don't think I could do a good enough job of that right now because I haven't really studied that part of it. If I was working for the Giants, I'd have all those names. I don't. To me, I just think they're in a good situation. They're going to get better. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to get better. And if they do it right, wow, they're going to get real better.
Before we let you go, you had a pretty fun dinner last night.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to share with us who you had dinner with and any one maybe good story you can share with us before you go?
We started way back in the early 90s. We used to go to a clinic in Reno, Nevada, all special teams coaches. And it was a great thing we did. And we all went together to dinner together. There wasn't as many, maybe 20 guys. And one year we got a bill, and we gave it to Joe Avezzano. I said, you won a Super Bowl, pay the bill. And we were in a Mexican restaurant. It was great. And that's how it started, this tradition. And Joe DeCamelis, who was a special teams coach for Denver, called me, and he was very kind. He said, look, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for what you did for me. He said, come to the dinner. So for me, it was extremely ingratiating. And he was very, very kind to me personally, because a lot of things that I sort of did kind of got special teams, you know, people kind of piggybacked it and got going. So it was incredibly rewarding for me and very humbling. And a lot of guys who I didn't know, you know, came up to me and, you know, coach, I followed you. I'm thinking, you know, I'm not your grandfather. You know, I'm not that old, am I? But it was pretty cool and a lot of fun. The whole group was there. They've done a good job. I spent a lot of time individually with them, encouraging them to get some of the special teams plays that are being watered down, to get them back in the game. You know, you just don't have as many plays. I said, you know, how are you as a coordinator going to realistically interview for a head coaching position when you're coaching 8 plays a game, 10 plays? You got to be kidding me. You know, we got to get this back. We got to find a way. I can do it. I can go in the NFL office and draw it up, which I've already done. I think I've got a good chance of getting that kickoff back in the business. I'm really fighting for it.
You know, Mike, I want to jump back to that before we say goodbye real quick. We've had a lot of special teams changes, whether it's
yes.
You know, the kickoff,
incredible.
The wedge, you know, they move it up, a lot of more touchbacks now, and then throwing the changes with the field goal
right.
last year as well and the
correct.
Extra point. What's your take on all these changes, especially the most recent ones on the extra point?
Well, I had a lot to do with it. I was involved in that with Joel Bussard. I talked a lot to him about that. I very much encouraged it because I don't like non-plays.
Right.
I want it to be a play. I don't care what it is. I want it to count.
Do you think it worked?
Absolutely it worked. There's no doubt in my mind. It made it a play. It's a viable play today. Ask the New England Patriots.
AFC Championship game.
Play?
No
yeah.
question.
I mean, so it counts. The thing with a lot of some of the other rules have been safety-oriented.
Right.
And I don't want to get away from that. But I can show them how to turn a kickoff return into a punt return and kickoff from the 25-yard line just by moving people in a certain proximity.
The way they align before the kick happens,
sure,
right?
Sure, you have to make one little rule change.
Interesting.
But you can make it a play and still emphasize safety. You're going to eliminate the big 40-yard collision.
You want the contact to happen earlier in the play before they build up
their
speed.
That's exactly correct. That's exactly right. You can do
makes
that
sense.
And make it a play and help young guys develop. If we don't do that, this part of your football team doesn't develop, and they get overlooked. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got a league that is totally dependent on a quarterback. I don't know. I guess I like 46 guys on Sunday that all have a role. I don't care what the role is. I want them all to participate. I mean, we went to two AFC championship games with the New York Jets. And if you think for 1 second that the quarterback took us there, you trust me, you don't know a whole lot about football. He was there, and I think he did a very good job.
But he was part of the team.
Thank you. That's exactly correct. And that's what he did. And we went to two championship games and really had a chance to be Super Bowl champs because we were a good team. You know, when Mike Tannenbaum began to kind of veer away from that thinking and become more quarterback oriented and started, you know, looking at the team that way, it just was it for me. I mean, it drove me crazy. I mean, I had a choice to make. You know, I was going to end up back in Florida or Rikers. I mean, I couldn't take it. It was driving me nuts. So it was time for me to go home and come to work with Anita. So for me, I'm happy.
I will tell Rikers to stand by for you. Don't worry. It's okay.
You know what I mean. I'm teasing. But it was frustrating. I loved that team concept. I mean, I loved Brad Smith and Eric Smith. I don't want to get away from the role that they had. And that, to me, is part of the game. That's why I talked to the coaches about last night. Fight for it, but yet keep safety in mind. We're not going to get away from safety. You can't just run down and kill each other. You got to use your head. Let's make this a game.
I like it.
And then in the media, so much of the game is dominated by ex-quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's
the only
point
we talk about. You know, we might as well just, that's it. If their guys don't, you got like one, two guys go out and play against each other. No, it's more than that. I love the team concept, and I'll keep fighting for it.